what it means to be an evangelical. That's the topic today. Next week, I want to talk about what to do when the darkness closes in. So someone told me, oh, you should always promote these things. So I'm promoting it. So today, and what does it mean to be an evangelical? Next week, it's what to do when the darkness closes in, an understanding of Ephesians chapter 6. So that's where we're going with that, and I trust it'll be a blessing to all of our hearts. Some weeks ago, maybe 6-8 weeks ago, I was chatting with someone. I don't believe they were a believer or anything, but he said to me, what are evangelicals? What are evangelicals? Like it was like a condition, you know, you had. How is that coming along with your evangelicals? You know, it doesn't have that kind of a feel about it. And I thought, you know, I don't get that asked that often because I is one. But that's a very, very good question. What are evangelicals? And there's many definitions, but I thought I would work through a few of them. I'm basing my thoughts on a dear old man that used to be part of our church, Art Alfred, and lovely man, British guy, leather patches on his jacket. And he was about 90 when he went to be with the Lord here on the North Shore. And I still miss him. He was a blessing. He'd come from some other church, and here's a real interesting thing. When I first met him, he was a member of the Hemlock Society. And by the time he went to heaven, which was a period of time of some years together, he would come to the church here. I was just amazing. I didn't think he'd sit through it because he's quite English, you know. But he liked the services and he liked the prayer times especially. But the Hemlock Society is, of course, a suicide. And that's what he believed at the time. But as he began to grow, he threw that method out, and it was never mentioned again, and I had the privilege of taking his funeral, knowing where he was, knowing who he was with, that he had changed on his views, we'd get together, and I'd say, so I said, the gospel is a pretty wonderful thing, the evangel, what? The evangel. The good news. See, evangel is good news. And so we are evangelicals. We are people of the gospel news, the good news of the gospel. Now we proclaim that. And we present that. It means gospel. And so to be evangelicals, we all have certain... Now, the thing that distinguishes you is what you believe. Not everybody. I know some people that I'm pretty sure they're saved, kind of born-again people, but I'm not sure they would embrace everything that I'm going to mention here. And you may disagree with me, which would be fine. It would be okay, too. You maybe have a different understanding of it. But so I had the title is, as an evangelical Christian, I believe. What? What do we believe? And I thought it would be good to set up. I didn't go with it at the time, maybe sometime later. But it would have been good to talk about the Apostles' Creed, and it would have been good to talk about the Nicene Creed. These are church creeds that have shaped the Christian faith for sure. They're not found in Scripture necessarily, but they're good. You declare those statements by the Lord. So anyway, we'll do that another time. But the question, what is an evangelical? There are some gatherings. I've been at gatherings. Somebody said, who was at the gathering? And I would say, so-and-so. I say, oh, are they evangelicals? And so it's used in so many different ways that it may even bring some confusion. So our church, let's bring it home, our church, at least for us, many of us, maybe hopefully all of us, we consider ourselves evangelicals. And that's our statement. Our church is a Christian church as well as a Pentecostal church. So we add to the confusion a little bit for some. We are evangelical, yes. We're certainly Christian. That's the banner. But we're also Pentecostal and charismatic in the sense that we believe in the gifts for today. So here's some statement. Here's some things that kind of determine whether I am an evangelical or not. Here, first one. The deity, I believe in the deity of Christ. That's a defining mark of what we believe. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Again, I didn't look up all the verses, but there was lots of verses for all these statements that I'm about to give you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what we believe. Deity. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. How wonderful is that? And the Godhead dwelleth bodily in Christ, and we are complete in Him. We believe that Jesus is not only a Savior, but that He is divine. He's divine. Jesus is, for us, Jesus is God. He is our God. This is the God that we worship. And we see Him. See, people say, oh, no, you don't believe that Jesus is God. Yes, we do believe that. That's something that we believe in. That He's divine, and He became flesh, dwelt among us. But in essence, He's divine. And I always thank the Lord that He's all got all power, all strength, all might. He is deity, God in human form. And we stand for that truth. Number two, the virgin birth. This might even be more controversial, perhaps. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. This is a great statement. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And you can look at, if you want, some further verses there from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. So number one, deity of Christ, He's divine. He's not just the Son of God. He is God Almighty Himself. Number three, the sinless life of Christ. I heard somebody say that here in one of the songs this morning. The sinless life of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, He made Himself to be sin who knew not sin. He never sinned. 33 and a half years He was here, and He never sinned. That's what we believe. He was the sinless Son of God. So He might become the righteousness of God. Let me read that right through. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so He might become the righteous of God in Christ. Number four, His vicarious death. So deity, sinless perfection, now His vicarious death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 3. In Christ died for our sins. And instead, He died instead of us. He died for us and took our sins upon Himself. And it was instead of me, He died. He was buried. And boy, I'm grateful for that vicarious death. That, oh, He went to the cross because of us. And we believe that. We proclaim that. And it's a blessing. And it's lined up with the scriptures as well. Number five, resurrection. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. We believe that. We believe not in the vicarious death of Jesus, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that he actually was raised to life. And that He's alive even now. He's alive and He's in this room. And He has filled the universe as well, of course. And it's wonderful and it's powerful. And it's a wonderful thing to say, what do you believe? I believe in the resurrection. But I also believe in the vicarious death of Jesus and what he did for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, I won't take time. And scratch, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 14. I must have been seeing those wheels turning or something. I'm not sure why I put that down, there. Just take note of it. Now, what's the next point? Salvation by faith. We believe salvation by faith and by faith alone. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10. Because if you confess, these are all verses, by the way. They're not creeds. These are verses. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, right? There's got several things going on here. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we take that a step further. We believe that there's only salvation in Jesus. There's not salvation in any other but him. Again, it's one of our beliefs. And you may or may not agree with everything to it, but it is, in my mind, it's essential. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and all your household. And we say, yes, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And you can see also Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Again, so precious. Numbers 7. The Bible is the inspired word of God. To us, it has authority. It's not just a book. It's not like a book of poems. It's not a book of, a science text. But it is the inspired word of God that God has spoken and breathed. It's God breathed to us. And therefore, we don't just read it casually. We take this as God speaking to us. And that it's divine to us and authoritative to us as well. And I think that's for Brother Art Alfred. That was one of the things he went from kind of a really liberal guy. And then by the time the ladies' prayer meeting did him in, and they were praying for him and with him, to my mind, it was just a matter of time before he said, those ladies, lovely, lovely. I dare not join them, of course. He said, they go where angels fear to tread, and I too. We like Art to talk to us, just to talk like that. Anyway, by the way, just on a side note, he died in his kitchen, and the doctor said he was dead before his head hit the floor. That's exactly how he wanted to go. And he's with the Lord for sure. Number 8, Jesus returning in his second coming. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. That we believe in the return of Christ. Now, the reason why I was, at least on my notes, I was a bit hesitant whether I should include it or not, is it a point of sharing? Do we believe this entirely? We all have different views regarding the second coming. That's why it can be a bit controversial more than other things. Some people believe it was a spiritual return, that he came before and he may come again, but it would only be spiritual. It wouldn't be physical. My belief is our church here is that it is physical. He's coming. He said in Acts chapter 1, the very same way I left, I'm coming back in that same way. So I just can embrace that and go with that. But there again, maybe other people say, well, no, their understanding is this and this and this. Those are just things that work for us. Now, those statements. You're going to say, well, is that an evangelical church? Is that an evangelical church? Because you wonder and I see churches like we would say, well, I guess the North Shore Alliance is what? That'd be an evangelical church. They present the gospel. Jesus is lifted up. People are saved. It would fit all of these points, I would think. And, the Salvation Army, the Nazarene, the Presbyterians, there can be all kinds, and they may or may not, but to declare that, that's what they, but to me, I'm happy to declare that. This is where we're at. And so people know that they can come to a church that this is going to these eight things are going to be important to us. Well, anyway, just so let me just take a moment here and ask you just what you think of your understanding. Did you come to this church because it was evangelical? Or did you come to this church because it was Pentecostal? We like to refer it as Pentecostal light. Because there are so many levels and stripes and shades, and it can just kind of, you know, out there. And so it was Jesus' light when it comes to this part of it anyway. So anyway, maybe, Martha, you'd be ready for a thought that you might have had. You know, just leap up here and, yeah. Anyway, he's got good thoughts on this stuff. So anyway, is there anybody you'd just like to say something just about the beliefs and why? So those things make us evangelicals. And the evangel, the good news. And wherever we go, we bring the good news. Why do evangelical churches grow faster and quicker and more frequent than mainline churches? We always do. It's always true. You show me an evangelical church that's proclaiming that message of the evangel, you'll find that church is full. I mean, all kinds of people in it. So it's a life-changing message, a message of Jesus. So. Is there anybody? Okay, maybe you have a question even. If not, don't. Yeah. There's probably I've met people, I really liked the person, they were fine people as far as I was concerned, but they're everywhere. They believe everything. And therefore nothing. But they'd have struggled that Jesus would be divine. They'd have real struggle with that. Whereas what's precious to me is not so precious to somebody else. Yeah. I'm sure that's true. All true, what you're saying. Yeah. But is there anything important about our church that you'd say that's been important to me since you've been a part of the Lord? Yeah. And by the way, probably most of us, that's what the real thing was Christ came into your heart. But my mother and father, and I mean, they had some good virtues in their life, and despite the alcohol problem. But I remember my mother wrote, the brother wrote and said, "What kind of church are the kids getting into? What kind of church is it? Is it low church or high church?" And my mother wrote back and says, "Low church, lower than you can imagine." See, because that was, those churches were evangelical churches. Where I got saved, it was an evangelical church. The message was that you must be born again. And I was born again, and my parents were worried sick about me. Because it was that kind of church. See, you may get criticism. You don't go to one of those churches, do you? And you say, yes, we that's where we go. And how many have had a situation like that where somebody wanted to know what church you go to? And I don't think we have to flog this in people's faces. It's just an understanding that we have that this is. If someone was to ask me, I said, "Well, I'll sit down. I'll hear some of the things that we believe. Do you believe any of this? Because if you do, that probably is a good basis for fellowship." So, yeah, please. Oh. Maybe just stand, Mark. That would be good, just so we get full volume here.
Yeah. It's not a people because of the message.
And unfortunately, evangelical is now associated with American politics instead of the faith. Again, it's not about Jesus, but it becomes that those evangelicals, right, trying to take over, these evangelicals. The vote was swayed for the evangelical. And so that's, I don't know, what do we do in a case like that where we're being maligned, but not even for the right reason? Do you have a thought on it, Mark? Quite often there'll be someone who'll become part of our church and they really like the church and like the music and like the worship and everything, but they have such a dog's breakfast of beliefs. They've been in New Age, they've been in this, they've been in that, they've been in this, and there's some things that are similar, so they kind of follow that, but it's not the same at all. And it's only after a while that you realize that when they talk about the Christ, they're not talking about this Christ. They're talking about the cosmic Christ. But there's Christians that say, oh, yes, oh, the Christ. Oh, there we are. We talk about that in our church too, the Christ. And I go, ooh, that's not, I know where that's going. And I've prayed for scores and scores of people that they would renounce and come out of the New Age and receive, embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. Brother Pritchard used to think that we should have a list of all the things we don't believe. But you have to know Brother Pritchard to know why that's especially funny, at least to us. Anybody else? I guess, Kim, it would be more of the question, let's just say a new Christian comes, or a Christian comes and gives his heart to the Lord, and he goes to the newcomer's class, and he says, what does this church believe? So I get what you're saying, but it's a difficult thing, because they're in a newcomer's class, and we don't say what we really, I get the idea of not being harping on this kind of stuff, because we're seen as nutcases in some cases, but it's... You know what I'm saying? How do we declare it? Then what do we just state?
But it's not about the beliefs, it's about the labeling.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's about, yeah. We're called to unity in the body of Christ, and labels are divisive, not unifying. Yeah. Labels say that there are people in the body of Christ that we accept and people that we don't.
Yeah, on my little holiday, Valentine's little holiday, I went to another church. I was wondering what they believed, and I was wonderfully surprised. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was delighted that they believed basically what we believed, although it wasn't the same background at all. And it was helpful for me to go to that other church, say, "What is this church about?" And I don't know whether if we can avoid labels, that'd be wonderful. But I don't. Is it wrong to say what kind of church is it? What do you emphasize? Yeah. That's what I'm just wondering, how that works. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah, because these again, they're not obscure passages. They're biblical verses that are center. Yeah. That hasn't been my experience, though, that there's confusion or a labeling. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying I don't want to be labeling anybody. I don't want to be labeled. Yeah, and again, the scripture is central, as is even here this morning. Please. No, it wasn't, but that's a good point. Tell us a bit about yourself. To live?
Yes.
Oh. But even the word evangel, it's good news, right? This is not bad news, it's good news, but maybe to be careful how we're presenting in case we do look like we're labeling. Keep talking, in what way?
Just the word.
And if I was taking a new Christian to a church, I think I'd want to ask those questions, say, what is your feeling about speaking in tongues? What is your feeling about the gifts being in operation? And if that person said, I'm having a real trouble with that, well, then we'd say, that's one of our things that we appreciate is the infilling of the Spirit. Oh, I can like the bulletin. Like the bulletin. Yeah, please. Yes.
So we don't need to run away from our words. We need to define them openly to people, and we need to tell them if they misunderstand them. That's the enemy that's telling you that, not God. These are God's words.
All right. I think you're on next week. okay, somebody. Okay, all right. Hamish, good to see you. So is that why it's good news? Because it's eternal life, to make sure that you can be with the Lord forever and ever. Yeah, that's, and is that, do you think that's neglected? Yeah. Yeah, I think if you went up to the lodge, many, many would hold that view. There's nothing beyond. Yeah. And sadly, that's true. And Mark goes up there often to proclaim the good news, the evangel. Well, Kim, do you want to give the last thought here? Well, you're one of us. I see it's on the list there. Well, let's hear it. I'll adjust that at the break. Because not that we don't disagree, it's just that we have not emphasized it. Yeah. And that's a helpful insight you've given us. Let's stand. One of the things that has always concerned me is that in the scriptures, Paul is forever concerned about people creeping in and changing the gospel, right? He says, they came in among you. He says, they're wolves. And he describes very harshly, right, about these people. But because they were changing the message, and he's confronting that. And I thought, what happened? How come nobody challenges us anymore? Well, we're just maybe so obsolete, as she says, that we're not taken seriously. But it's there must still be wolves coming, trying to get in, right, to bring danger and all kinds of things in our lives, that teaching, false teaching, people, well, anyway, enough said that, but the battle is still on. I think we can be careful about labeling, but the enemy will still be trying to make inroads, I think.
But it was the fullness of the Spirit.
We'll receive that. Why don't you lead us in a prayer? I like your spirit. And let's pray that we will be a church glorious that God can use, and people would want to come and bring somebody if that's worked, and care about the poor and the afflicted and the needy. Even if you would have heard this morning, even in the pre-service prayer, I'm praying for the people in the fire zone. And I thought hopefully there'd be more than just that, but to me that's just, it's the heart of God. So lead us, if you would. Yes, yeah.
Renew our minds and renew our hearts, and that you would send us forth, that you would have the go of the gospel to go out and to love people, even in a radical kind of way, or that you would help us to be wise, as sometimes we're sheep lambs among wolves, Lord, that you would help us to have a word in season and out of season for the hope that we have. I pray, Father, that you would just enrich us within, and Lord, that you would strengthen us to be laid down robbers. Yeah.
Yes.
That you can help us to really extend ourselves to our neighbors and the people around us in our work situations, and that you would help us to have something that is remarkably and noticeably different. It's you, the gospel. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to express it
in a way
that brings glory and honor.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. That's part one. Part two is the rest of us out here gathered. The weather's nice. The coffee's good. Join us if you can.